Welcome to the Senate Transportation Committee. Today is Tuesday, March 20th, and we have two bills before us. CS for House Bill 246, naming certain bridges and airports by the House Finance Committee, and CSHB House Bill 271, an act related to motor vehicle requirements. We'll go first to 246, but first let me welcome Senator Thomas and Senator Menard, who are here with us today, and I'm Senator Kukesh. So let's go ahead and get started then. CS for House Bill 246, would you please put yourself on the record? We'd love to hear your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Rachel Kalander, staffer, Representative Bill Thomas, here to testify on behalf of House Bill 246, which will name 15 bridges and two airports after prominent Alaskans. The 15 bridges listed in the bill are in Cordova. I was raised in Cordova my entire life, so it's an honor to be here to assist Representative Thomas with this bill. Like many communities, Cordova is only accessible by boat or plane, and the community is extremely tight-knit. It's a community that holds a lot of pride and a great sense of duty. It's that sense of duty that spurred the people of Cordova to serve in every major war in the 20th century. After the Vietnam War, it was said that Cordova lost more young men per capita than any other city in the entire country. In honor of those brave young men, the city of Cordova have requested that 14 of their unnamed bridges be named after the sons that they lost. From World War I, I'll just read it quickly. James Bennett, William Jones, Steve Green, Lucien Platt, Matthew Anderson, W.H. Mumby, and John W. Jones. From World War II, we had Patrick B. Burchett, Norman Osborne, Leonard Olson, and from Vietnam, David Henry Elisofsky, David Allen Lape, Warren Allen Paulson, and Michael D. Bantu. The city of Cordova has also requested that the bridge over the Eyak River be named after Marie Jones Smith. She was an Eyak elder who worked tirelessly to preserve the Eyak language. Marie was the last known fluent Eyak speaker, and she left behind one of the most comprehensive records of any Aboriginal language that exists still today. In conclusion, Mr. Chairman, the sponsor believes it would be an honor for the residents of Cordova to name these bridges after their young men who made the ultimate sacrifice, and to name the Eyak Bridge after Miss Jones, the last preserver and protector of the Eyak native language. If there are no further questions, I'll pass it off to Ms. Erickson to address the airports.
Well, we haven't had any questions at all yet.
Oh, so. You have nice any questions?
Any questions from members of the committee for the presenter this afternoon?
No. Great idea.
Senator Thomas, Senator Menard?
No.
Okay, now there are no further questions. Well, go ahead. Let's put your name and on the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Cynthia Erickson with Representative Allendick's office. Forgive me, I hope I can make it through this without joking here.
We must have been at the same party. I thought I had my throat going there.
We were. I'm going to give you a little bit of information on the background of both airports. The first airport is the Keokuk Station Veterans Airport. The village of Keokuk is located on the Yukon, 30 miles west of Galena and 290 air miles of Fairbanks. The village is primarily Alcoyucan, Athabascan, and Yunzin, and was established in 1867. It used to be called Keokuk Station and was a military telegraph line constructed along the north side of the Yukon and Keokuk, so the village became the site of the telegraph station. In naming the airport, the village residents wanted to honor the many native military veterans who have served their country. The second airport, Minto Alright Airport, is named after an Athabascan aviator born in 1925 and raised in the Minto Flats. Alright joined the Army, and when he got out, he found out he could get his pilot's license with the GI Bill. He started flying for fun, but never got away from it. This winter, I had the opportunity to visit with Alright, a quick stop that lasted the whole day. Once you started talking aviation in the old days, he was unstoppable. Really, really, really super wonderful guy. Al talked about living a subsistence lifestyle, traveling from camp to camp, his family making a living by cutting and delivering wood for $8 a cord with a Sears and Roebuck handsaw. He also repeatedly mentioned how he struggled throughout life with little education and not knowing how to read and write, and how this was hard for him to get his pilot's license, ratings, and running his business. Today he is 86 years old and still flying. And Al Wright's Airlines is still one of the most successful interior airlines with high standards, great pilots, and maintenance, which he always held in high regard. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any questions for the presenter, Cynthia?
She did a nice job.
Yeah, you survived that. Do either of you know of any opposition to this bill from anyone, anywhere? Have you heard of any? I haven't, and I'm just wondering, and my staff hasn't received any opposition. I'm just wondering if you have heard anything. If not, well, thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do we have anybody online that wants to testify? No, we don't. Is anybody else in the room that would like to testify? Yes, please come forward. The young ladies will give up their chair for you. Thank you for coming to the meeting this afternoon, and I'll put yourself on the record, and we'd love to hear your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's Jerry McCune. I'm president of Cordova District Fishermen United. We support this bill. It's a really good approach to honor our fallen veterans. I went to school with about three of these guys. It's on the list here, so I know them really well. And honoring Marie Smith Jones is the right thing to do, and so we support the bill. I think you probably heard enough about the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the testimony? Thank you very much for being here today. Is there anybody else in the room that would like to testify? Seeing none, we're going to close public testimony, and my intention to move the bill this afternoon, unless there's an objection from a member of the committee. What's the wish of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move CS for House Bill 260 to the next...
246, you mean?
Oh, 246, sorry, / M. To the next committee of referral with the fiscal note attached, if there's any fiscal note.
Individual
recommendations.
Okay, good. Thank you. Any objection to that? Here, none. And the bill is passed out of committee. Thank you very much. We'll take just a minute to sign the document. We're going to go now to CS for House Bill number 271. And we welcome you to the committee. Just for the record, we know who we are, but we'd love to have your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Wes Keller. I represent District 14 in Wasilla. And I really thank you for hearing the bill. Actually, this is the first venture to this side, this whole session. And so I'm honored that you'd hear the bill. It's not near as dark as you told me it was going to be.
I'm going to try to be really comforting to you today.
Thank you. With your permission, I'd like to have my staff, Jim Pound, go ahead and tell you about the bill.
Thank you, Representative Keller. Thank you, Senator, for the opportunity to speak. My name is Jim Pound, staff representative Wes Keller. House Bill 271 will make doing business in Alaska a little bit less costly. Transportation of goods in what is today essentially pickup trucks or small step vans, classify them as commercial vehicles. Run down to the hardware store, pick up a load of lumber, you need to have a commercial permit for it. HB 271 proposes to allow you to do that without the increased cost of having, because of vehicle weight restrictions, currently at 10,000 pounds. This bill will change that to 14,000 pounds. Why? Basically, the last time we touched this was back in 1999. Trucks are a lot smaller then. They've gotten a lot bigger, as you're all well aware, when you drive down the highways and see dually pickup trucks that are basically considered private vehicles. The problem with the existing law is, for example, a business owner does on-site welding. If he has the welder in the back of his truck, he must have his vehicle registered as a commercial vehicle, even though it's not only in the back of a pickup truck. Of course, the cost associated with that would be a CDL. potential additional insurance costs, registration fees, inspections, and medical exams. By changing the language from 10 to 14,000 pounds, we make the average one-ton pickup truck non-commercial. The same rule will apply for pilot vehicles. A lot of pilot vehicles that are running right now, they're having to drive three-quarter ton trucks, which puts more weight actually on the highway because it doesn't have the dually rear tires. This will allow pilot trucks to be converted over to one-ton trucks, which would be good for our highways as well. It takes into account the size of today's vehicles and is a future step for Alaskans and one of our biggest important parts of industry, which is transportation. We're glad to answer any questions. However, we do have online two experts who probably know a lot more about trucking than Wes, Representative Keller and I would ever begin to pretend. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Questions, Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there any opposition to this bill that you're aware of?
We have had no, through the chair, we've had no opposition whatsoever. In fact, the Alaska Truckers Association with Davis Thompson and the department with Dan Breeden have all worked on this bill to make sure that we come up with legislation that everyone's happy with.
And I can see she's in the audience and nodding her head. That's good. Transportation. Okay, thank you.
Senator Thomas.
Just one thing, Mr. Chairman. I'm assuming that vehicles these days are even safer than they were before, so increasing the weight is not necessarily a bad thing because a safer vehicle, more sturdier built, those types of things probably is reasonable then to allow the weight to increase to stay outside of the boundaries of being considered a commercial.
Future Senator Thomas, that's absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Just thank you very much.
You know, you would like. Yeah, but just quick add to that, one of the means is less. There's less maintenance needed to keep that safety. I mean, you buy a new truck now. It used to be that the kingpins or the tie rods would fall off it, but anymore, they're, like you said, they're getting safer and safer and less maintenance costs. So.
Thank you. Any other questions for our presenters? You're welcome to stay there. I don't think I have anybody else in the audience that would like to testify, so you're welcome to stay where you are. I'd like to just take a minute of personal privilege to introduce Devin Searles, who's sitting right there to your right there. He's shadowing today my staff, Nancy, and he's from Juno Douglas High School and going to graduate this year. He's a senior. Glad to have you with us and appreciate you joining us today. And we don't have any other questions for you, but we do have some people online who want to testify. But let me check first on in the audience. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we're going to go off site here and talk then to Dan Breeding from the Department of Transportation. Are you on just for questions, or would you like to testify?
We're just here for if needed, sir.
Okay, Annie Goldsmith is with you. Okay, very good. Thank you. Well, we'll go to Mr. Thompson then from the Alaska Trucking Association.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm my name is Abe Thompson. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association, and I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 271. One of the Alaska Trucking Association's legislative priorities is to change the definition of an intrastate commercial vehicle to reduce the regulatory burden on small businesses. As vehicles have gotten larger and heavier, many vehicles now fall into the current definition of an intrastate commercial motor vehicle that have historically not been considered commercial vehicles, such as pickup trucks, small step vans, small trailers, etc. And for purposes of commercial vehicle regulation and inspection, House Bill 271 raises the weight threshold on intrastate commercial vehicles from 10,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating to 14,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating. This is aimed at small contractors, for example, lawn care operators, carpenters, handyman, plumbing and heating, and small delivery vehicles, and pilot cars. Pickup trucks and small step vans are getting larger and heavier and are bumping over that current 10,000 pounds, becoming, by definition, a commercial vehicle for those safety and inspection purposes. Pilot cars are those vehicles that accompany oversized loads to serve as an extension of the warning system of the oversized load, and their work is almost always intrastate and would fall under this legislation. This bump in weight causes the driver to obtain a medical certification, complete daily vehicle inspection reports, perform or have performed annual inspections, and the vehicle owner must submit several other items to the state DOT to be in compliance. And when over that 10,000-pound threshold, these vehicles are subject to federal regulations that have been adopted into the Alaska Administrative Code. When passed, this bill will exclude those commercial vehicles that are no more than 14,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating from the unnecessary regulation. This change does not change the commercial status of these intrastate vehicles for purposes of registration with the Division of Motor Vehicles, and therefore there is no fiscal impact on the state. These vehicles do not need the level of scrutiny as that's provided for larger commercial vehicles, generally because they are typically operated in a limited geographical area and are not subject to the wear and tear that other commercial vehicles experience. And as Senator Thomas pointed out, these vehicles don't require the same level of maintenance and repair that the older vehicles did. And on behalf of the Alaska Trucking Association, I urge you to act favorably on this bill. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Thompson from members of the committee?
Yeah.
Yes, Senator Menard has a question for you.
Not Mr. Thompson, but I have a general question. If the previous speaker is still on the line, I don't know if that's fair to ask, but transportation.
Who was it?
But there's someone in here.
Well, Dan Breeden's still online.
Don Breeden and Annie Goldsmith are online for questions from Department of Transportation. Also have online Whitney Brewster from DMV who is online for questions. So you can ask a question to either one of those people.
Okay, thank you. I was just wondering if you run the numbers or computed out as to, and you said there won't be any fiscal loss, but if there are those that were required to have a commercial, it was considered at 10,000 pounds and now we're upping it to 14,000 pounds, would there not be a deduction in revenue realized by the state?
And Breeden, through the chair, Senator, the law only applies to intrastate operations, and those registrations or anything associated with that, as far as the DOT numbers or medical or anything like that, would be cost to the carrier. There was no revenue to the state in any of that. The Whitney can answer to the registration portion of it, but it doesn't change the statute that requires registration, so everything stays the same.
Okay, thank you. I have a better understanding. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Any other questions for either Whitney Brewster from DMV or Aves Thompson from the Alaska Truck Association, or Dan Breeden or Annie Smith from members of the committee? And I would just want to note, I'm sorry, Senator Huggins had joined us earlier on, and I just want to, for the record, show that Senator Huggins is here as a member of the committee. Okay, anybody else online that would like to? Do we have anybody else online that haven't mentioned? Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Thank you very much for your presentation. What we're going to do then is close public testimony. It's my intention to move this bill this afternoon, and I'd really appreciate a motion to move it, if I could, from members of the committee. Senator Menard?
Mr. Chair, I move CS for House Bill 271/D, and I'm looking for individual recommendations with the attached fiscal note and to the next committee of referral.
Okay, hearing any objection? Seeing no objections, then it is moved, and thank you very much, and we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.